Avarutse, desire to accept. Aham, I. Dukkha shoka bhaya avaham, which is the cause of all kinds of distress, lamentation, and fear. Distress, lamentation, and fear. Savatra, always and everywhere within this universe. Asya, of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. Yataha, because. Mrityuhu, death. Matsyanam, of the fish. Udake, living within the water. Yata, like. I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation, and fear. Everywhere in the universe, just as it is for a fish in the water, which lives always in anxiety because of fear of death. Now this verse is very we must understand the context in order to understand the full brunt of the verse. The context is that once Maharaj Nimi had performed a sacrifice, and this sacrifice needed a priest. Vasishtha Muni was usually the priest of Maharaj Nimi, but there was a very, very interesting sacrifice on the higher planetary systems performed by Indra, and Vasishtha had a desire to attend that sacrifice first to get the novats, the money, or the remuneration which is necessary, you know, which you get when you are a priest. For instance, every priest who does a yakya, he gets a remuneration, and a belohnung, otherwise the yakya is not perfect. Even I, as a sannyasi, when I have a yakya done, the yakya is done, I always make sure that the priest gets a donation, or gift or present. This is very important. So you can understand, Vasishtha, Maharaj Nimi had a sacrifice going, but at the same time there was a sacrifice going on the higher planetary system. So Vasishtha said, why did you just wait for with your sacrifice? I just quickly go and do that sacrifice. You know, he didn't say, then I get the novats, then I get the money, but this was implied, this was the idea. And then I come and do your sacrifice. Maharaj Nimi. But Nimi had no time to really wait, because you know how long it takes when someone goes to the higher planetary systems. It takes a long, long time, and he wanted to do the yagya. So he did it without his family priest. And when Vasishtha returned and saw that his disciple had gone ahead, not caring that Vasishtha did it, he became so angry that he cursed Maharaj Nimi to fall down dead immediately. So now this was a problem. He was a king. He was dead, because his was not. You can't really say it was his spiritual master. It was a family priest had just freaked out because he wanted material benefits to have, And the priests now addressed the devatas. Now it gets complicated. They said, "My dear devatas, if you are satisfied with us, give life to Maharaj Nimi." They took, in other words, the dead body and rubbed it with fragrant oils, special oils like they do in Egypt. In Egypt, you have heard the mumitskis, the whatever it's called, it, mumien, it's called in German. They put the body into this oil. Actually, not even they put him into an oil tank. He was floating there. And in this way, his cells remained intact. So after some time, the priests called the devatas and said, "Give life to this body again, please, if you are satisfied with our yajna." They had done a special yajna. So somehow the soul of Nimi was still around. And then Nimi came into the body and he said to his priest, you want to give me a new body, but thank you very much. I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation, and fear. Everywhere in the universe, just as it is for a fish in the water, which lives always in anxiety because of fear of death. So Maharaj Nimi, who is a perfectly self-realized soul, says, "I don't want a material body." Let us hear the explanation. The material body, you all, by the way, are in a material body. It's very relevant for you. Whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live for a long, long time. But death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is called mrityu sansara vartmani. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious or has achieved the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in the material world and accept a material body subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. The example given here is that water is a very nice place for a fish. But the fish is never free from anxiety about death, since big fish are always eager to eat the small fish. Falguni tatra mahatam. All living entities are eaten by bigger living entities. This is the way of material nature. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam falguni tatra mahatam jiva jivasya jivanam. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey, for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence, as the Lebenserhalt, of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created the material world in such a way that one living entity is food for another. This is the world. One living entity is food for another. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created the world in such a way that one living entity is food for another. Thus, there is a struggle for existence. But although we speak for survival of the fittest, no one is fit. No one can escape death without becoming a devotee of the Lord. Arim vina naiva shritim taranti. One cannot escape the cycle of birth and death without becoming a devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Aprabhyamang nivartante mityu sangsaravartmani. One who does not attain shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna must certainly wander up and down within the cycle of birth and death. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamne. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please let us imagine for a while the situation. Here is a great personality who has left his body, actually. That body was the body of a king, Mangamaya. It was a body which offered this living entity very, very good circumstances for life. But still Maharaj Nimi was reluctant to accept a new, accept this body again. Could you just please do me the favor to just imagine the situation? Imagine you are on your deathbed, if you can at all. It is very difficult for young people as you to imagine this, but imagine a time when you were really, let me say, close to death. I do not really know if you can at all imagine this. At that time, life in the body is really the most desired goal which you have. You just feel, I would like to return to my life. But Maharaj Nimi here, he says, although he is offered the opportunity to take on his life again, no thank you. And he gives the reason that the body is actually, or physical existence is actually a source of misery and lamentation and great fear. Srila Prabhupada quotes in this connection the famous verse from the Bhagavatam, Ahastani Sahastanam, which describes exactly how material life is very dangerous. Except one life is the food for another life. A good example has been given in one of the Puranas, where you see a snake which has a frog in its mouth and the frog has an insect in the mouth. You know, the frog tries to eat the insect. The snake tries to eat the frog. Now, many of you might think, well, yes, Sachinanda Swami, this is a very nice example, thank you, but I don't feel that I am the food for another living entity. I don't feel that, let me say, my husband has me in his mouth and he's eaten by another, by the temple commander, you know. We don't have such an experience as human beings. This may be there for the animal kingdom, but it is certainly not there for us. Let us not be hysteric about our lives. It's not so dangerous, not so bad. But there is a great problem, which is the same, and it is called envy. Envious feelings of others towards us. See, when Prabhupada discusses the word envy, he discusses a much greater concept than we, than comes to our mind when we hear this word. When we hear the word envy, we generally think, well, it's someone who feels that my Sankirtan results were just so good that he is just feeling, why couldn't I do such a Sankirtan result? Or so we feel it in that connection. But Prabhupada extends the meaning of the word to all kinds of bad wishes, Böswilligkeit kann man auch sagen, oder Missgunst in Deutsch, and just bad feelings towards someone. So in this material world, this can be a great, great problem. It can also be a problem in the association of devotees. Very, very often, I meet devotees who have bad feelings against other devotees for one reason or another. And these bad feelings, sum totals of bad feelings, envious feelings, make life very hellish, because you don't feel you are amongst people who like you and whom you can like. And as a result, one feels a little lonely, a lone wolf in the Lika area. Lika is an area in Croatia where there are actual wolves. It's between Zagreb and Rijeka, and our devotees who come from this area know if you get lost in the winter time in Lika, it's not a pleasure at all. It's very dangerous. Lika, as far as I remember. So this feelings of enviousness, take care that husband and wife quarrel, sometimes divorce. This feeling of enviousness is there when the men are thinking all the Matajis are foolish, and the Matajis think all the men are just arrogant chauvinists. And this envious feeling is there, you know, whenever there is not a feeling of love and respect and acceptance of others. The envious feeling comes when devotees begin to criticize the ISKCON movement in ways which are maybe not the whole picture. This feeling makes this human interaction very unfulfilling and very frustrating at times. And this feeling of enviousness is something which needs to be overcome by any devotee who wants to make advancement in his or her Krishna consciousness. There are four qualities which the Bhagavatam says which we have to develop in order to really please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these four qualities are a feeling of kindness to all living entities, a feeling of mercy, you know, a feeling of tolerance, and a feeling of equal vision. Let us think a little bit on kindness, on maitri. Kindness is there amongst friends. When we feel friendly towards others, we are kind. We give them a present. Come, take something to eat. Come, you know, a merciful feeling comes when there are living entities who are less qualified than us. Let us say, when we see here's someone who suffers, who is not so intelligent, maybe, we have some mercy. I want to do something good for this person now. He needs help, or she needs help. And if you are clearly superior to that person, you can say it is an act of mercy. Let us say, to go out on the street and distribute books, that can be an act of mercy, because there are sometimes people who are just so fallen, isn't it? When you meet them on the street. Yesterday, one veteran, Sankirtan heroine, was telling me that she was at one time, someone beat her in the face with a box, bang, bang, in a small mataji. Maybe all the teeth had fallen out, you know. And then, but she wanted to distribute more transcendental literature. What did she do? She took a Walkman and heard the tape, Krishna Kills the Demon, to get into the heroine mood. And then she just said, had her cap on the head, no one would see it, and she just said the mantra, bitte schön, das geben wir noch mit dazu, und überhaupt, das ist für alle netten Leute, so wie sie. Jetzt wollen Sie mal Ihr Portemonnaie raus und geben Sie eine ordentliche Spende, oder was immer man sagt. So, it may have been, I don't know, certainly there must have been some feeling of mercy. I must help these people, or do not know, maybe there were other motives also, that I don't want to give up here, I want to fight it through, or, you know, mercy means to show, give good to people who are even not your friends. Then the next thing is tolerance. We should learn to accept the other's person who is sometimes so different from us. We should not try to make everyone the same. Be tolerant. And finally, an equal vision. This fourth quality actually helps you to fulfill all the other ones. If I see everyone as a spiritual soul and not so much as their according to their outward behavior, then I have this equal vision, and it is very good for spiritual life. Then I see not an extent a basic difference between Hangsu and Nishingananda. Hangsu may be a gentleman, and Nishingananda may be on his way to becoming a gentleman, but I do have an equal vision. I think they are both devoted. One is younger and has a lot to learn, and the other is older, and we can learn a lot from him. So this is very important to have this type of vision. The Supreme Lord becomes very satisfied when he sees that his devotee develops kindness, mercifulness, tolerance, and an equal vision towards other living entities. We should aspire to develop this. Then we can become a mature person. But if we always we remain on a new platform, the Kanishta Arikari platform, we will not be able to have these four qualities. And then we will always be in some ways or another envious. In the Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting verse about envy amongst devotees. And if you hear it, you might feel a healthy shock. If you want to, I know some of you take notes and like to study a little bit, you can find this text, which I will read to you now, in the fourth canto, third chapter, text 21. The Sanskrit is Prapachamana Nena Rida Tudendriya Samritidvi Purusha Buddhi Sakshinam Akalpa Evam Adirodham Anyasa Parangpadam Dveshti Yata Suraharim. One who is conducted by false ego and thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons. Being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization, he envies such persons as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is taken from a character analysis of Daksha. Daksha was very, very furious about Shiva. Why? Because Shiva had not shown him respect, the respect which he expected. Now, Daksha is totally the opposite of Amanina. Amanina means someone who does not expect respect for himself. If you are to some degree full of this desire to be respected, when this respect doesn't come, you become furious. I remember once when I had a specific lila when I was a young bhakta. I liked very much sweets. Now this desire is not so big any longer. For some reason. But as a bhakta, I could, if it was up to me, I would just nourish myself from ladus, not eat anything else. I was such a lover of sweet. So then, and especially I liked maha sweet. This was the best. Can you imagine? And so we had the rule, we would all go to a table with our empty plates, and then the servers would put prasadam on the plate, and then we would sit down somewhere with our devotees and eat together prasadam. So I always was thinking, when we were passing on the table, the maha server should give me sweet. But he never did it. He always gave me sakshi, which I categorically don't like. I said once to him, please, I know we shouldn't be picky with Mahaprasadam. We shouldn't choose this and like it more than the other. We should just see it as the mercy of the Lord and not distinguish between this mercy and that mercy. So I know this, but I just wanted to tell you something which you might not have known before. I like very much sweets. thank you for listening to me. And then I expected that the next day he would remember and give me the sweets. After all, I was the translator, and I was an older devotee. A few months. But he never gave me sweets, and I remember how I became very envious of him. I had very bad feelings towards him. I was just thinking, when this guy doesn't give me sweets, well, when I have a position in ISKCON, I will really show him. I must say it was not so bad, but I want to exaggerate to make the point clear. If you want to be respected, with this respect doesn't come, you get envious. Even on self-realized people, as is explained, the real reason for the enmity between Lord Shiva and Daksha is explained here. Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva because of Shiva's high position as an incarnation of a quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because Shiva was directly in contact with the Supersoul and was therefore honored and given a better sitting place than he. Sometimes karmis, I remember when Prabhupada said on the Vyasasan, they became very envious. What are you doing there on this seat? Very envious. Ooh. There were many other reasons also. Daksha, being materially puffed up, could not tolerate the high position of Lord Shiva. So his anger at Lord Shiva's not standing up in his presence was only the final manifestation of his envy. Lord Shiva is always in meditation and always perceives the Supersoul, as expressed here by the words Purusha Buddhi Sakshinam. And it goes to explain Lord Shiva's glorious position. And because Lord Shiva did not offer respect to his material body, Daksha became envious. Such persons, being unable to rise to the standard of self-realized souls like Lord Shiva, are always envious. The example given here is very suitable. Asuras, demons, or atheists are always envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They simply want to kill him. So, my dear devotees, this envious feelings can also happen in the association of non-devotees, of devotees, if you have not cultured in your heart the feeling of reality. That is a humble understanding that you are the soul of Krishna. You are a part of Krishna. You have no real connection to this position which you have at the present moment. You are not a man and not a woman. You only have to act out the role of a man or a woman as long as you are in this material existence. You have to learn in this role to again become connected with Krishna. Whatever you have in this role as a challenge before you, it's something you have to learn. Don't misuse this opportunity, this rare opportunity of the human telotsky, the human body, and just become proud of a position and become envious towards others who do not respect you sufficiently. If you do become envious or have bad feelings towards others, you take away the whole possibility for you to learn. You just throw it to the storm, the stormy mind. So, materialists always are conducted by these envious feelings towards each other. Devotees must overcome it to make the association of devotee a wonderful place. Once there was a wolf. The wolf was hunting, and he came one day to a river where he saw a little lamb drinking. Schaf, ja. Ein Lamm eigentlich, ein Schafslamm. So he was thinking, I must kill this and eat it. But he didn't just want to be so uncultured and just jump on the lamb. So he said, listen, lamb, you drink and make my water muddy. And the lamb said, it can't be, because you are upstream and I'm downstream. If anyone makes the water muddy for someone, it's you who make it muddy for me. But I don't feel so. I can drink very nicely. Ah, said the wolf. But 1 year ago, you spoke an offense against me. You blasphemed me. Oh no, this cannot be, said the lamb. 1 year ago, I was not born yet. It is impossible. Ah, said the wolf, anyway, your mother offended me and then jumped on the lamb and killed it. This is this envious feeling. They really don't have any good reason, but they are there in the Schlitze, in the heart. And they manifest from there as a result of our envious feelings towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should I accept if someone is not according to my liking to me? Why should I accept it? Once someone came to Lord Buddha, Buddhavasa, and said, you are a useless hermit. You just sit around here. What benefit do you do for society? And he just blasphemed Buddha. So at the end, Buddha said smilingly to the person, he asked him a question. Good, you have now said what you wanted to say. Let me just ask you one question before you go. Yes. With whom does the present stay, which is not accepted by the person who this present was meant for? Do you understand the question? Once again, ich sag's mal in Deutsch. Bei wem bleibt das Geschenk, wenn die Person, für die das Geschenk gemeint war, dieses Geschenk nicht annimmt? In English again. With whom does the present stay if the person for whom this present was meant doesn't accept the present? Let me say, you all look at me like a blank blackboard. So Buddha has sometimes a difficult question. Imagine, Dayasindhu has already understood it, so I can make an experiment. Dayasindhu, this is my, no, it's my Bhagavatam, I can't give it. But just let us say, this is Bhagavatam, this is for you. And Dayasindhu said, no, thank you. I don't accept it. With whom does the present remain? By whom bleibt das Geschenk? The giver. Yeah. With me, in this case, it remains my Bhagavatam. I'm so happy. So in the same way, so Buddha said, so the man said, yes, it stays with the giver. Buddha said, yes. I don't accept your blasphemy. Keep it for yourself. Do you understand? If someone expatriates you, that's his problem. Why should you make his problem your problem? It would be totally foolish. I can't understand you. Let it stay with him. Don't accept it. And say, well, Krishna, Don't you sometimes have made this experience? Imagine you go down the road and someone says, you are absolute fool. You don't really care but if you are so identified with yourself, I'm a fool. After all, I went to gymnasium. It's not so bad. I went to the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. I made my degree, and after all, I'm first initiated. You are not at all even initiated. You know, then you're lost. But if you don't accept it, you go like, Charmin. Sometimes, isn't it, when someone blasphemes you, you really know, well, this is really not my problem, it's really your problem. You're so intolerant, and so you are a son of a Nazi. I mean, what can you expect? You know, you're not at all disturbed. You know, you think it's natural. He must offend me. If you don't accept the offense, then you're not becoming envious as a result. I feel we have to learn this. So let me come to the close of my. Now, what should we do when we are? When we have envious feelings towards others, there are two things which I would like to recommend to you. One is here. Actually, when one chants or discusses the transcendental activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes non-envious. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. Without Narayan or Sankirtan Yajna, there cannot be peace in this material world. In other words, that envious feelings towards others is really born from our original envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we become again lovers of Krishna, or bhaktas of Krishna, then this envious feeling will go. Because at that time, and this is a second advice which we can give against envy, we have an equal vision. It's described, one who sees me everywhere and everything in me. In other words, Krishna is everywhere and nothing moves independently of Krishna. He is never lost to me, and I am never lost to him. The best example for non-enviousness is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father, where is your Lord? And he said, everywhere, Father. And when he said this, Nishingananda, he saw Krishna as a Syama Sunda form in the stupa, in the pillar. Krishna smiled at him. And he felt so blissful. Prahlad Maharaj. He was so blissful because he saw one who sees me everywhere. And everything in me. Prahlad Maharaj saw that everything was under the control of the Lord. You know, when his father tortured him, he was not very worried. He thought, he is my father. He must be joking with me. It's a little strong, his jokes. But he is my father. And what happens to me? It's under the control of the Lord. Prahlad was not bewildered. When they threw him into a into a Schlangengrube, into a snake pit. And Prahlad, he made friends with the snake. Hello, how are you? He is an example of saralata. That is simplicity. He understood Krishna's control was everywhere. He must be joking. He's my father. Imagine. Such a devotee is never lost to me, and I am never lost to him. Yes. Let us aspire for this vision, my dear devotees. Then we will be free from the envious feeling or bad feelings towards others. We can then very easily practice Trinada Pisunichena, so on and so forth, and go back to Godhead in this one life. Wouldn't that be ideal? Naja, ist nicht so einfach. Also, kann ja versuchen, aber... No, we have to learn this. It's very important. Gut. Do you have any pitanyas? Any questions? Pitanyas. The one. Yeah, well. Well, we are here because of envy. Somehow we felt towards the Lord some non-devotional feelings. And then in the Bhagavad Gita it says, Icha Dvesha Samut. Tena dvandva mohena bharata. This is very important. Icha. Kannst du das finden? I C. Also Icha oder I C C. Nee, I C C ist ein Schnellzug in Deutschland. Wie bitte? I C C. Aha. So, in this verse, which you will hear in a moment, it's very nicely explained. Icha, ja, I-C-C, wieder D-Zock, das kann man sich ja gut merken. Icha dvesha samuttevena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammohang sargayanti parantapa. O Nachkomme Bharatas, o Bezwinger der Feinde, alle Lebewesen werden in Täuschung geboren, verwirrt von den Dualitäten, die aus Verlangen und Hass entstehen. O Son of Bharata, conqueror of the enemies, all living entities are born in delusion, bewildered by the dualities which come out of desire and hate. Richtig. Hate is envy. So we are all born in delusion, and this delusion keeps on continuing if we are maintaining desire and hatred towards others. This desire and hatred brought us into this world. As long as we are covered with this desire and hatred, we will not understand Krishna. It's not possible. So what should we do with our desire? Let us desire Krishna and hate or envy. It can be really not good to have bad feelings towards anyone. Sometimes we have to work. Isn't it when you have bad feelings about towards anyone, isn't somehow your devotee mind tells you it's not alright to have this, isn't it? You just feel it intuitively, super soul-tethered. Oh, I wish these feelings would not be there, because we know it's very bad actually. It really keeps us away from Krishna. We have very strong material desires, you know, not good, we have to give them up. I know what you want to ask. I have now struggled with this question, how did we become envious of Krishna? For 5 or 10 years or so, I can't understand. I'm still listening to the arguments that we never fall from a loving relationship with Krishna. And I know Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation. I could tell you things you won't believe. Which living entities are manifested by Sankarshana, Mahavishnu, and so on. But I have resolved in my mind. I could argue for both points and defeat every one of you, but I have made it like this. I just follow Prabhupada, who says don't worry about this question, you can't understand it. He says it's not so important to understand how we came here, it's important to give it. Prabhupada's really advice to us as his disciples was, don't worry about this question. I must tell you very honestly, I can't imagine that we have fallen from a loving relationship with Krishna. It doesn't fit into the head. I tried it for 5 years, it doesn't work. Everything in me says it's not possible. But I know there are things which you cannot understand with your mind, and therefore I make a respectful thing around this subject matter. I don't need to understand everything. Prabhupada told us, don't worry about this question. We shouldn't try to, because as soon if you enter this, it's not good for spiritual life. This is my thing. So please do not try to tempt me. Also versuch mich nicht zu verführen. Dass ich in diese Frage reingehe. Also, I'm very serious about this. I think it's nice for all of you who have maybe struggled with this question. This is my reaction as a devotee. I know all the arguments. I read all the books, even the forbidden book, and so on. It's just my deep conviction is that we cannot understand the spiritual realm with our minds. We cannot understand that state where you were. If we once became any, well, you're right. If we were envious of Krishna, how can we become free of by talking about the person of envy? By talking about, let us say, you are have a very bad feeling towards your father because he sent you to the wrong school, and you couldn't learn what you wanted. And whenever you hear his name, you go like, "Oh, dieser alte Knacker." So isn't that the same when we are? Anyways, sounds so foolish to think like this in relationship to Krishna. No, Krishna, holy name works like a medicine which is injected intravenously. Hearing about Krishna, especially if we hear from a devotee who has faith in Krishna, then this can be cured. There are many examples of those who were at one time having not such nice feelings towards Krishna and who hurt. You should have heard what one Swami, very nice Swami, what he thought the first time he saw Krishna. He saw a picture of Krishna in an Indian museum, Krishna doing Rasa dance. And he thought, well, it looks like this god is having a real good time with so many girls to dance with. But I wish I could do that. You know, immediately he was envious on Krishna. But now he's a devotee. Against what? Yeah. No, it's right. Ich weiß nicht, wieso jetzt ein Zweifel kommt. Das ist doch unsere. This is the way Prabhupada. Ja. But you know, to really understand how you could turn against Krishna, that is, I can't imagine this. Because we have the free will and we. Uh, Yes, we have to learn to use it again for Krishna. Yes, that's totally safe and sure to say this. Sogar ganz sicher. We are here because of our free will, and we can return to Krishna because of our free will. That's the safe way. Yes. So thank you all very much, us envious souls here in the material world somehow have come here, you know, in a way which is very difficult to understand for us. It will remain a secret, maybe, how we came here. This much is sure to say, we are the ones who are guilty for it. So let us now simply go back to Krishna by thinking about Krishna, acting for Krishna, and becoming his servants again. And stop serving our own mind and senses. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.